God says, come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they may be white as wool. Only Jesus can purge your soul from the guilt and the stain of your transgressions and make you pure and clean before God. 1 John 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, how dirty our souls are. How polluted our hearts are. How foul our mind is. How selfish, how worldly, how crass, how materialistic, how egotistical. There is only one who can make us clean, and it is Jesus. Titus 3, verse 5 speaks of the washing of regeneration. John 3, verse 5, truly, truly, I say to you, except you be born of water and the Spirit, you shall not enter the kingdom of God. No filth passes through the narrow gate. We must be washed in the blood of the Lamb. So have you ever humbled yourself? Have you ever come to Christ and said, unclean, unclean? Lord, if you're willing, cleanse me. That's the sinner's prayer. Lord, have mercy upon me, the sinner. It may not have been expressed in those exact words when you were converted, but that's the substance, that's the heart of the sinner's prayer. Lord, if you're willing, make me clean. This leads third to verse 13, the leprosy Jesus healed. And please note how Jesus responded to this man who had loathsome sores and this diseased body. Verse 13, and stretched out his hand. The word "and" is important. It indicates an immediate response from Jesus. It's the continuation of this same narrative. There's not a parenthesis of time between verse 12 and verse 13. Verse 13 begins with the word "and." It's just these are like boxcars on a train. They're just being all pulled forward together at once. And so verse 13, "and stretch out his hand," referring to Jesus. It means to extend his hand intentionally and purposefully, really in a way that no one else would. No one else would have come near him. And yet Jesus steps in where everyone else is stepping out. Jesus moves in where everyone else is scurrying to get away from this leper. Jesus actually stretches out his hand, and we read here, and touched him. Now, the word "touch" here doesn't mean like this, just kind of a glancing touch. No, this Greek word, hakto, it means to lay hold of him. Not a mere glancing touch, but Jesus fashioned himself to him. He grasped him. And there must have been a gasp that day. You touched a leper. And Jesus could have just said from the other side of town, "Be healed." And he would have been healed. We read something like that at the end of John chapter 4 when the nobleman came to Jesus and said, "My son is sick unto death." And Jesus says, "Go home. You'll find him well." Jesus does not even bother to make a house call and go walk to the other town and then lay his hands on him and raise him from the sick bed. I mean, Jesus can heal from long distance. But here, Jesus wants everyone to see him stretch out his hand and touch him. Luke, who recorded this, was a physician. And physicians understand well the need to put their hands on their patient to try to diagnose and discern what the illness may be. And Luke here, as he writes this, Luke was not present for this. Luke had to research and talk to eyewitnesses who would recreate infallibly for him what took place there this day. And so years later, as Luke does on-site research and to talk to people who were present there that day, including his disciples, what stuck in their mind that they passed on to Luke so that Luke would record in his word is that we'll never forget it. Jesus crossed the line. He crossed the boundaries. And he was so full of compassion and so full of mercy that he reached out and literally laid his hand upon this leper to personally, individually touch him, to identify with him, to draw near to him. The scripture says, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you." And this leper has drawn near to Christ, and Christ doesn't take steps back and steps away and to try to keep his distance. No, as this leper draws near to Jesus, Jesus draws near to him and extends his hand and touches him. Those standing there that day must have become as pale as this leper's skin was. According to the Mosaic Law, Leviticus 13 and 14, and I'm not going to do a detour to take us back through those chapters, but according to the Mosaic Law, which is the law of God, given through Moses, the leper who is ceremonially unclean could not be touched by one who is ceremonially clean. If contact is made, the one who is ceremonially clean would become unclean. But Jesus is the Holy One of God, immutable. unchanging in His holiness, impeccable, incapable of sin. And so, in the middle of verse 13, Jesus said, "I'm willing." Jesus is so willing to touch the unclean life of this leper in order to make him clean. In Romans 9, God says, "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion upon whom I will have compassion." The sovereign choice of God to have mercy. And Jesus said, "I'm willing." Not that I'm reluctant. Not that I'm hesitant. I'm willing. He is more willing to cleanse the leper than the leper is willing to come to Christ. And then Jesus utters these two words, "Be cleansed." It's in the imperative mood, which means it's a command. Be cleansed. The leprosy must depart. The ceremonial uncleanness must leave. Again, Jesus does not say be healed. Because the man's real need is not his physical condition. Jesus says, be cleansed, because the deepest need of his life is spiritual. For his heart to be cleansed before God. Be cleansed. The next two words, and immediately. Immediately. Straightway, at once, without delay. It's a favorite word of Mark in the Gospel of Mark. It's used over 35 times. Everything was immediately, 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 immediately. There's no procrastination with Christ. There's no delay with Christ. Everything is done immediately. There's a rapid pace about His ministry and about His life. And immediately the leprosy left him. It departed. It abandoned him immediately. He was converted immediately. He was cleansed immediately. And this is something I want to stress again, that every conversion is an immediate conversion. Your conversion was an immediate conversion. There was a day, there was an hour, there was a moment, there was a time when Jesus said to you, "I am willing, be cleansed." You may have progressively been convicted over a long period of time. You may have been progressively being drawn by the Lord. You may have progressively been gaining the understanding of the gospel of Christ over an extended period of time. But there is that one epimoment, that one split second when Jesus said to you, "Be cleansed," and immediately you were cleansed. And it was the greatest moment of your life. Greater than the day of your marriage, greater than the day of the birth of your children, greater than the day of a promotion at work. The greatest day of your life is when Jesus said, "Be cleansed." And immediately you were cleansed. You may not be able to pinpoint when that moment was. You may not be able to recall the day. Nor the hour. But I want you to know it happened in a day. And it happened in an hour. And you were immediately cleansed. That could happen to you today. It's possible for you to walk in here today like this leper and be unclean before God. And in the course of this worship service and in the course of hearing this sermon, to hear the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit to do an internal work within your soul. And while you're even seated here in this worship service, you could say to the Lord silently within your own heart, "Lord, if you're willing, cleanse me." And for the Lord to act and, "I'm willing, be cleansed." And you could go home cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. It would be the greatest day of your life. Fourth, we come to verse 14. The law Jesus upheld. And there's the word "and" again, leading the verse. All this is unfolding like links in a chain. This is all connected. There's no time lapse. And next thing. And Jesus ordered him to tell no one. Wow. We might have immediately put him in the baptistry. We might have immediately had him stand up and give his testimony. Jesus ordered him, commanded him. Don't breathe a word of this. Why? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Shout it from the housetops. Why? Look at the next words. But go and show yourself to the priest. Really, but first go and show yourself to the priest. It's a matter of priority here. What must come first? And under the law in Leviticus chapter 14, if you were healed, and it was so rare for anyone to ever be healed of leprosy, but if you are healed, you need to go straight to the priest. And you need to have him inspect you so that this isn't some claim that you went to a faith healing service and your left ear is longer now. No, you need to be checked out. You need to be inspected for the reality of what you claim. But then the priest is to leave being outside the city and to come into the city and to let it be known so that you can come into the city and everyone doesn't have to run away from you. It provides your now needed passage back into society. Your entrance back into the association of relationships, so that you don't have to keep saying unclean, unclean whenever you encounter someone. And so go have the priest check you out. And at the end of verse 14, just as Moses commanded, this wasn't a suggestion from God. No, it was a command from God as a testimony to them. I'll just quickly read Leviticus 14, verse 2. This shall be the law of the leper. It was known as the law of the leper. This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing, that very day. Now he shall be brought to the priest, verse 3, and the priest shall go out to the outside of the camp. Thus the priest shall look, and if the infection of the leprosy has been healed in the leper, then the priest shall give orders. What we see here is also the high regard that Jesus had for the law of God. Jesus was not an antinomian, one against the law. Every moment of every day, every step of his personal life and public ministry and private ministry, Jesus was obedient to the law of God. It is known as his active and passive obedience to the law of God. He fulfills the law on our behalf, okay? He fulfilled all righteousness, Matthew 3:15. And so even here, Jesus is operating by the law of God. He's not cutting corners. And you and I should have a very high regard for the moral law of God. This is a part of the ceremonial law, the priesthood and the sacrifice and all of that. That was all fulfilled at the cross. That's all ancient history now. The ceremonial law has nothing to do with us. Christ is the fulfillment of the law, the ceremonial law. That's why we're not offering sacrifices in here today. That's why we're not a messianic Jewish congregation. No, all of that has been long since fulfilled. It's over. But we are under the moral law of God, which is succinctly summarized in the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments are still binding upon our conscience and upon our Christian lives. Finally, in verse 15, the lull Jesus needed. Verse 15, but, meaning nevertheless, don't tell anybody, but the news spread like wildfire. But the news about him was spreading even farther. Even farther means exceedingly, over and above and beyond what everyone else had been talking about. Now this is throwing gas on the fire. In John 6, they will try to make Jesus king. And we read in large crowds. Large means great number of crowds, meaning large multitude. But notice it's in the plural. Large crowds, plural. It would be hard for us to get our minds around what this scene looked like as people are just literally pouring out of towns and cities. And they're merging together and traveling. It says they were gathering to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. Please note the priority: to hear the word of God. No one has ever spoken the word of God. No one has ever been the truth teller like Jesus. And they were coming not just to be healed, but first and foremost to hear the truth of the kingdom and to be healed of their sicknesses. Notice sicknesses is in the plural, all their sicknesses. Benjamin Breckinridge Warfield, the great Princeton theologian of the 19th century, said Jesus all but banished sickness from Israel. It's an amazing thought for a period of time. Verse 16, another but. But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness, which means a deserted place, a desolate place, a lonely place, and pray. It would be hard for us to really put ourselves into the sandals of Jesus and understand the intense demands that were placed upon him in a day in which the nation Israel is in apostasy. And here is a man now who is preaching sheer, unadulterated, unvarnished truth to us. And in a day in which sickness is without the medical conveniences that we have today, here is a man now who is healing all of their sicknesses, that he virtually cannot even turn around to take a step in any direction, but that there are throngs and throngs and throngs and throngs of people who are engulfing him, wanting more of him, more of him. Just touch my mother. Just speak the word to my child. Tell us more about the Father. That Jesus in his sinless humanity was just like you and me. He grew weary. He grew tired. In John 4, he went to Samaria and sat on a well in the middle of the day and asked the woman, "Can you give me a drink of water?" He has his life strength syringed out of him, sucked out of him. He has nothing left to give today. And so he withdraws and slips away. The word means retired. Some isolated place. And prayed to the Father to renew his strength, to the Father to replenish what has been drained. What strength we find in prayer. Sometimes we're so busy and so weak we don't have time to pray. That's when we need to pray more than ever. So this is the dramatic account of Jesus healing a leper. And it's only one of untold numbers and numbers of people that Jesus touched when he was here. At the end of John's gospel, it says, if all that Jesus said and did was written down, all the books of the world could not contain it. This is just one little insight into one episode. It was replicated again and again and again and again and again. What we see here is how accessible Jesus was and is. As you have need in your life, and Who here today does not have need in their life? There are no super saints in this building. There are no bionic believers in this building. We all have need of His strength, His wisdom, His direction, His guidance, etc., etc., etc. Jesus is accessible to you today. And whatever was weighing heavily upon you as you walked in, He wants to take that unto Himself. 1 Peter 5 says, casting all your cares, all your burdens upon Him, for He cares for you greatly. If you will come to Him in your heart, I'm certain He will say, I'm willing. You have a willing Savior today. Father, thank You for this account tucked away in this unfolding story of the life of Jesus. And we do not speed past it today. We slow down and we stand here and observe. And we are astonished and we are amazed at the compassion and the mercy, the grace, the accessibility, the readiness, the willingness, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only thing that's lacking today is for us to turn to Him. And I pray that today, each and every one of us in this room would avail ourselves of Christ, that we would abide in Him, and that He would abide in us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. God bless you. You're dismissed. See you next Sunday. I want to thank you so much for joining me on this episode of From the Pulpit. If this was edifying to your Christian walk, or if perhaps you have committed your life to Jesus Christ for the very first time, please leave a review wherever you listen to this. If you want to connect with me on social media, I can be found at Dr. Stephen J. Lawson or at One Passion Ministries. If you want to join me live as I travel and preach, my speaking schedule can be found at onepassion.org. Well, thank you for joining us for this episode of From the Pulpit. May the Lord greatly bless your walk with Him. Thank you for joining us.